beautiful for spacious skies.
Por tus olas de granos
ámbar. Coca-Cola's Super Bowl ad featuring America the Beautiful, sung in many different languages, drew some fire from conservatives who thought that this song should be sung in English only. So what's your reaction to the ad and the outrage from some over the multicultural content? Some people posted on social media their intent to boycott Coke, but it doesn't appear there is any national coordinated effort to do so. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Friday, February the 7th. Our guest is Tom O'Gwin, professor of marketing at the UW-Madison School of Business and a research fellow at the school's Brand and Product Management Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's your reaction to this Coke ad that got so much attention on the Super Bowl?
Well, it actually surprised me a little. Not entirely, but, you know, it on a political level, first of all, I love the ad, and I think it was a great both political statement and very good branding. But I, you know, when somebody like Glenn Beck or somebody like that criticizes something, I can assure you that people in Atlanta aren't, like, terribly concerned. I mean, this was a very on-strategy ad. It was in the current media environment, you can make a lot of noise about a little thing, but this was, to me, tempest in teapot.
Yeah, there was also some errors going on with some of the outrage, saying that the national anthem should be sung in English when that's not our national anthem.
Yeah, well, there's that small thing, but you know, we've always had some degree of xenophobia and nativism. So it's not surprising in a internet world you're going to have people who believe in all English all the time. I mean, even for a company that does more of its business outside the United States than inside, and the Super Bowl has an international audience. So, I mean, they're not just speaking to the United States. And so, you know, we always have some percent of kind of not so enlightened people, but we are it's just an empirical reality. We are a very diverse country, and Coke being the number one brand in the world kind of gets that.
Yeah, talk a little bit of why this was good branding for Coke.
Well, they have always been about inclusion. They're not the number one brand in the world for years and years and years for nothing. They have always been a fairly politically aware company, in that they want everyone to like them, and they attach themselves to sort of our higher ideals, our utopian ideals, and that's one reason it makes them such a great brand. As they do business overseas, and since World War II, they've more and more, large percentage of their businesses overseas, they want to put a vision of America out there that is not Glenn Beck's vision of America. They want people in Turkey and Singapore and everywhere else thinking of America as multicultural, as a place that welcomes its immigrants, that understands the world. This has been Coke's strategy forever.
Well, Stephen on Facebook posts, this ad reminds me of the Coke ad that's more than 40 years old now. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Is it the same type of thing?
It is the same kind of thing. That ad was famous for sort of capturing the inclusion of the 1960s, early 70s, and the Cultural Revolution in the United States and in Western Europe, the youth movement, and in saying that we are a global company. I mean, Coke is one of our first global companies, and they have always been. You know, in World War II, they convinced the federal government to issue commissions to their sales force. They're called Coca-Cola colonels, and go all over Europe supplying Coke to the troops. They were the only company to get sugar during World War II. So they've always been very politically adept. So to think that they're making a mistake here is just, I'm sorry, it's just crazy.
So they're not alienating a large group of consumers or potential consumers of Coke?
No. Mm-hmm. No, and I think it's no. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, if you just drew a map of red and blue states, okay, let's say that theoretically you'd expect the most negative reaction in deep red states. Well, that's the South. Coke has a big advantage in the South. Even, you know, it's hard to find Pepsi. Pepsi is not the preferred drink in the South. So trying to dislodge lifelong Coke drinkers in red states, United States, I mean, I'm sorry, that's not going
to
happen.
It seems to me that in the South, a soft drink of any sort is called a Coke, even
right,
if it's an orange.
yeah, I grew up in Texas, and the if you said, I want a Coke, it could mean a Pepsi, it could mean anything. It was just a generic term, and the South is still very loyal. I just spent some time in Washington, D.C. When Washington, D.C. is kind of a southern city, and Coke is much more dominant in Washington, D.C. than Pepsi. And as you go south, that becomes more true.
Well, you know, we just talked about this Girl Scout cookie boycott proposal, and it reminds me that one of the Facebook posts we had was from someone who said, well, I'm going to have to buy a whole lot more Girl Scout cookies than I normally would and wash it down with a bunch of Coke.
So. Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the Girl Scout one is just, I mean, is even sillier than the Coke one, and But it does sort of bring out a point, which is that I think more and more marketers are realizing, and that is the dividing line between branding and politics is a very fuzzy line. And as there's more and more of an echo chamber on the internet, there's more and more sort of political connections to brand, the SodaStream issue with Scarlett Johansson that didn't turn into a big controversy, but it almost did, about SodaStream being produced on the West Bank, and pro-Palestinian groups saying, you know, this is bad, they should boycott. So increasingly, you're having brands become at least political footballs, and sometimes, like Costco, sort of choosing sides politically. I mean, how many press conferences has President Obama done from a Costco now? So they're, brands and politics have always sort of run up against each other and more now.
Yeah. Do boycotts in general have a positive or a negative effect on sales? Or is that...
It's you know, this is, being an academic, you won't be surprised by this answer, but it depends, you know. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, brand managers would just hope they would go away, and you know, so generally they're negative. But 99% of the time they're ineffectually negative. I mean, there's a little noise But it doesn't change much. Now, there's exceptions. I mean, there's been times when, I mean, our nation is founded on, in some sense, on some, you know, political boycotts of, you know, what you can consume, whether it will be taxed. So we have a long tradition. If you're at the Smithsonian and you see the lunch counter from North Carolina, I mean, a lot of our civil rights actions were fought out in consumption context. So, yes, strikes were tied to the civil rights movement. Sometimes, sure. But the average, you know, boycott, they're so common, and most brand managers just kind of, you know, wait for them to go away for a few days, and they go away.
Renee on Facebook says, the Cheerios commercial controversy just made me want to go out and buy more Cheerios. So there we go again.
Exactly.
We didn't talk about that ad very much, but we will. Coca-Cola, she writes, knows what they're doing. They're making money by keeping their name discussed. A couple of points there. Did Coca-Cola know it was going to maybe get this reaction and maybe wanted it?
Sure. I mean, well, Coke makes very few mistakes, and they test a lot of things. And, of course, they knew there would be some reaction to this. They knew which way it would go. They probably knew the extent of it. But the conversation, generally speaking, is still good for Coca-Cola, because it's, at the end of the day, what are people going to say? Well, the critics would say, well, it says that you don't have to learn English to come to America. Well, I mean, you know, Coke is not an official, you know, instrument of U.S., you know, policy or something. So I think reasonable people just kind of laugh it off. And the other thing is, people's brand preferences are so strong on things like soda that something like this does generate awareness. People think about it a little bit. That doesn't hurt, but it's not going to move the needle around a lot. Super Bowl advertising is unusual advertising. It is done not in the same way a lot of advertising is done. It is done to tell not only consumers, the world, but the equity markets and all kind of things who Coca-Cola is. This is our strategy. It's what economists call signaling. It tells the equity market, it tells everybody, this is who we are going forward. And it's better than an annual report. It's a $4 million annual report. But look at all the buzz it's created. So it's a good thing.
We're talking with Tom O'Gwin. He's a professor of marketing at the UW-Madison School of Business and a research fellow at the school's Brand and Product Management Center. We are talking about the impact of these advertising controversies, like Coca-Cola's Super Bowl ad featuring America the Beautiful sung in many different languages. Plus, that ad also showed a same-sex couple. There's also the Cheerios ad featuring a multiracial family that also drew some attention. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the break. And we're welcoming your reactions to the outrage that some of these ads generated, to what exactly are these companies trying to do. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies,
por tus olas de granos samba.
So did you see Coke's Super Bowl ad? What did you think of it? What about Cheerios, that Cheerios ad featuring a multiracial family? Did either change your opinion about the product being sold? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Tom O'Gwin, a professor of marketing at the UW-Madison School of Business. And let's take some calls. Carrie in Augusta's been waiting. Hi, Carrie. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. So my son works for Coca-Cola here in Wisconsin, and they were told in advance that there was going to be a commercial that might stir up some emotion. And I tell you, after watching it as a parent, I could not be prouder of my son working for a company that shares that message across all those millions of viewers that were watching the Super Bowl.
Wonderful. Well, why was that ad beautiful to you, Carrie?
Because it's really set that message that we are United America. We come in many shapes, sizes, ethnicities, family styles, lifestyles, and, you know, in the end, we're all Americans.
Yeah. And Professor O'Gwin, Carrie says her son, who works for Coke, was told that maybe this ad was gonna generate a little controversy.
Sure, and I couldn't agree more than everything she said. I think, you know, Coke's had some rough times regarding, you know, they childhood obesity and things, and they've handled that well, I think, personally. And they are one of those companies people like to work for. They we place people at Coca-Cola. I mean, and people don't want to leave that job. People like working for Coca-Cola. And I think it partly because they do have sort of a vision. You can argue whether that vision is good or bad, but I like it. But it is... at least as it was articulated in this ad, a very wonderful, to me, statement about America.
The let's talk just a little bit more about that the Cheerios ad. It really caused much more of a stir earlier. It was last year when the first ad appeared showing a biracial family. And then I guess General Mills or Cheerios decided to do it again during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and again, that was, I think, good management. That's, fairly forward-thinking company. And you don't have to be that forward-thinking. It's just American demographics. I mean, that's the reality of America. And... but I think it was a very, very nice ad, and advertising historically has underrepresented minorities in the United States. It's overrepresented. It's overly white. It's overly wealthy, et cetera. But I do think you have some advertisers like General Mills, Coca-Cola, who make a point of saying we're inclusive. We're for everybody. And that's very smart business in addition to good politics.
Let's take another call from George in Ashland. Hello, George.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My point is this, that this is different than a beautiful new tradition like We Are the World, which is done wonderfully. This is a violation of a very treasured American tradition, and it's trying to exploit it for global marketing. And I think it's likely to be very controversial, like a crush on a courthouse lawn. People will have a lot of strong feelings about right or wrong. And I suspect Coke is going to withdraw this. This is like, you know, the new Coke. They've made a mistake here. Thank you.
And George, when you say it was a violation, he went away. So he thinks it was a violation to sing America the Beautiful in different languages, and that he thinks Coke will end up pulling it. He also said this was for global marketing. And you say that too, right, Professor O'Gwin?
Well, it was for everyone. I mean, it you know, a large... The Super Bowl is a global audience, and people all over the world watch the Super Bowl. So, yes, and Coke is a global brand. But I think they hit a very nice sweet spot. It resonated, I think, well with many of us, not your caller, but as to what we believe America is. And it's, my guess is it resonated pretty well, overseas as well, where Coke does the majority of its business. So, you know, I respectfully disagree with your caller.
Yeah. Linda in Waterford is with us now. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I just wanted to reiterate what someone else said earlier, that these companies are appealing to where the market is, what their audience is now. Of countries becoming more diverse, and they want, you know, to show that they're, like you said, inclusive. And so they're appealing to those audiences. And conservatives have a hard time, I guess, accepting that. But that's the way the country is going now.
You know, Professor Gwynn, I did see a piece that was from, you know, an advertising analyst or expert who was saying that this is the new trend in advertising, that more and more companies are, because of our changing demographics, going to be doing, I think he called it, cross-cultural marketing. Is that what you see happening,
oh,
too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been watching that. I used to work in the ad business some, and yeah, I mean, that's for the last 40, 50 years, it's grown from small little, what they used to call ethnic shops, who would run, you know, the African-American version of the ad, et cetera, et cetera, and they would actually make different versions. That kind of segregation within the industry still exists, but not as much. And so that if you look at attitudes where advertisers really care about, which is younger people, because that's the future, and they drink soft drinks and they form brand preferences early, that generation of people, that is the Coke ad. This is a younger generation of people do not reflect the views of your two callers ago. They are all about inclusion and not seeing the same differences that previous generations had. Now, are we in truly post-racial times? No. But Coke knows where its audience is. It's young, it's international, it's multicultural.
Yeah.
They're in business to make money, and this was smart advertising.
Thank you so much for being with us. Tom O'Gwynn, professor of marketing at the UW-Madison School of Business. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production. This is the Ideas Network.